Aniara presents Dakota, read by Lena Lauritsen-Kjellner. If you obey all the rules, you miss all the fun. Katharine Hepburn. Prologue. The Dakota resembled a food processor as it approached the landing strip at the local aerodrome outside Sandefjord. A retro kitchen aid, which has in recent years regained its popularity and is available in all the best outlets offering kitchenware. The plane had been chartered for the day for a conference of people in the construction industry. Along with the hire of the aircraft itself, the charter included the services of the captain, the co-pilot, and whatever else was required. The participants in the conference were accommodated in a harbourside hotel nearby, and right now half of the members were on their way back from a merry junket to Fagernes, heavily sponsored by a tool manufacturer, the main feature of the event being a long, boozy lunch. The delightful lady who ran the little hotel where they were staying had arranged both the flight and all the other excursions offered to the participants. According to the hearing that took place afterwards, as the aircraft came in to land, the conversation on board had principally turned to a discussion of this extremely shapely lady's natural advantages. Safely back on terra firma, the merry men and ladies poured out of the Dakota and fell greedily upon the ice-cold, dew-fresh wine set out on a table right beside the aircraft. The rough hands of manual labourers gripped bottles of ale. Loud conversation flowed. The main topic was the latest problems in the branch, but there was also much talk about that guy in the Norwegian Labour Inspection Authority, the fellow who had been allocated the thankless task of visiting private construction sites and asking Polish workers and casual labourers to produce their papers, confirm their place of residence, and show their work contracts. He was rather despised, but that came with the territory for some people employed by the state, with steady jobs. The captain and the co-pilot remained sitting in the cockpit, chatting about the coming weekend and the co-pilot's youngest son, who was about to sit his law finals, while the last passengers slowly disembarked. When the last man had exited the aircraft, they did the rounds of the cabin, as always. On the back row, a man remained seated, his head leaning against the wall, and a rug tucked in tightly round him, as though he were sleeping. The captain and the co-pilot probably thought the same, I imagine. This was a conference participant who had overindulged and was now sleeping it off after an action-packed day. With a faint air of resignation, the captain approached, intending to wake him. He must certainly have sighed as he strode down the central aisle. The second before he leant over to give the man a friendly pat on the shoulder, it struck him that the man was strangely still. No sign either of deep breathing or loud snores, which one might expect in an awakening drunk. In fact, awakening was the last term that would spring to mind in connection with this passenger at this particular moment. In his years in the service, the captain had experienced most things. He simply muttered, "Bloody hell." For the man on the back row was indisputably dead. None of those who first entered the cabin in semi-darkness noticed the trail of blood that streamed from some spot behind the left ear of the dead man, forming a large pool on the seat and on the carpeted aisle of the Dakota. The blood was not noticed until an hour later, when Evert Carlson, the police officer in charge, took a closer look at the deceased. An immediate connection was made between the death and the nail gun, which was found lying under the seat of the dead man. That's the way of things on a little aerodrome in late August, before the frost sets its chilly grip on the Vestfold countryside, and when it's impossible to imagine that anything horrible could ever take place here. Chapter 1. A bowl containing green olives and a bottle of Perrier stood on the table in front of me. There wasn't really room for much more. That little round table was hardly intended for banquets. It was the kind of morning you only get in southerly climes, delightfully temperate, redolent of spices, but with the fierce heat of the day just lurking round the corner. I had set down my rather worn pocketbook and was amusing myself by people-watching the early birds, filled with the freshness of the air as they strolled across the marketplace in Vensey.